As kids in the U.S. are heading back to the classroom, many feel a stigma attached to their free or reduced price lunches. Several incidents of schools shaming children over unpaid lunch bills have made headlines in the U.S. recently, highlighting how the school lunch can be a symbol for the social, economic, and food disparities that exist in America. This is an interesting, I suppose, starting point to look at a bigger issue. But, Tony, tell us more about how does this school lunch program work and the shaming that comes with it?
Right. Well, it's been around for a while. And what I mean by a while, I mean the program for free lunch. The National School Lunch Program is a federally assisted meal program operating in primarily public schools and nonprofit private schools and residential child care institutions. And it provides relatively nutritional, balanced, low cost and free lunches for children each day. And the program was established under National School Lunch Act signed by President Harry Truman back in 1946. So it's been around quite some time. When I was in school, there were people who I heard qualified for free lunches, but I wasn't one of those kids. So I wasn't able to get any free lunches. Most of the time I brought, you know, food from home.
Mm-hmm. But will they be getting the same food that other kids are getting from schools?
That is a good question. Typically, their foods were a little bit different. The food people that paid for, their lunches, it was on a nice tray, and the foods were always something really good, like hot pockets or pizza. And,
That's good.
Okay.
Not particularly nutritious, but certainly I think kids like to have pizza, hamburgers, hot dogs. Yeah. Mm.
But last year, apparently 30 million students nationwide participated in the National School Lunch Program operated by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Of those, 20 million received free lunches and 2 million received reduced price meals, and 8 million, students paid for it full price. So this is all based upon your family's income. So, clearly the people who, the 20 million that got free lunches, it was based off of their family. Perhaps they were below the poverty line in the U.S. And the people that were in a different bracket that earned maybe a little bit more, they would pay, a little bit less for the meal. And then, of course, if you were earning over a certain amount, then you would just have to pay for the lunch. So for students who qualify for the free meal, they would have to earn, their families would have to earn about $32,000 for a family of four. And the reduced price would be around $46,000.
So U.S. dollars.
U.S. dollars, right.
That's not much for a household. I mean, at least there's got to be two people working if that's the norm in the U.S. And then $46,000, from what I understand, that's basically the average for one person's income.
Mm. But unfortunately, you have a few other issues, and one primary issue is single parents. You have a lot of single parents, mainly in the areas of the country that are a bit poorer. You have this is a major issue on why some of the salaries are pretty low in these estimates. So according to the USDA, 10 million students accepted free lunch assistance in 1990, followed by 13 million a decade later. And at present, there's about 20. So it seems to be this gradual increase of poverty in the school sector.
Very interesting. I think this has to do, like we mentioned earlier, I think yesterday we talked about how globalization and the wealth gained through that process hasn't been evenly distributed in across the society. And here we have just more examples or more figures showing how that theory might just be true.
Yes, and here recently in the U.S., and multiple media outlets have reported this, that there's this act of de facto shaming of kids because their families can't afford to pay for this lunch program or pack school lunches for kids. But this is a school. I mean, aren't people supposed to be loving and considerate? I mean, these are little kids we're talking about.
Ideally, yes, but apparently that's not what's happening. So when a student doesn't have enough money for lunch, the cafeteria staff in many districts take away the child's tray of hot food and hand the student a brown bag containing a cold cheese sandwich and maybe, you know, small milk. So, and some schools will just take away their meal, you know, indefinitely, where they won't give them anything to eat. So, you know, a lot of times when this happens, you know, other kids will see like, oh, you know, they had a paper bag. So, you know, so you're immediately you're stigmatized by other students and clearly by the staff because they can't give you, you know, free lunches.
Mm-hmm.
And on their end, you know, they could be reprimanded if they're, you know, giving away free food. So it seems like it's a, you know, it's a double-edged sword there for, you know, the staff and for, the, you know, the student that's, you know, that can't afford the meal. And it's been reported that some schools are singling out children by making them wear like wristbands or hand stamps, or they make them do like extra chores if they have a debt with the school. So it's it seems to be a really serious issue. And there was a case that called last year in Kentucky. Parents complained and accused the local elementary school for bullying, you know, after a child's lunch was confiscated and thrown away in front of, the, you know, the friends of the child. So it seems like there's this, you know, animosity that's building up with the staff that, you know, if they give away any, you know, free meals or anything that they will be reprimanded. So it seems like they're displacing this on some of the kids.
Interesting. So because before the show, when we talk about shaming or lunch shaming, I was under the impression that perhaps students were shaming each other,
mm-hmm.
or because some kids were just weren't just raised in that way to be considerate. I mean, I remember me being, well, being single children and not necessarily raised to be considerate of others. There was a time that I had to sort of spend time in the school canteen, but normally on a daily basis, I usually just go home and have meals with my family. But on rare occasions when I do spend time and have meals in the canteen, I realized I was a little kid, but I noticed that the food wasn't necessarily good, and being inconsiderate and also being a cynic, even at such a young age, I think I just said straightforward that that's some crappy food I had. But looking back in that part of my history, well, that dark history, I realized I must have made some sensitive kids feel sad about it or upset about what I said. But my point is, kids are not necessarily raised to be considerate. And perhaps they were not saying things out of the intention to deliberately hurt people, but yes, they do that. And I was under the impression that perhaps lunch shaming amounts to just that. I didn't know that perhaps even staff members or faculty members were trying to do things like that. Obviously, school teachers aren't the best paid jobs everywhere in China or in the US. I mean, but shouldn't there be a system or some way to resolve the problem of unpaid school lunches? Shouldn't they? Now, especially when you have this national school lunch program in place for more than 70 years, there's got to be a system for faculty members to report cases like that, cases where a family cannot afford to pay for hot food at school. Shouldn't they just recommend or file applications to include those families into the program?
It sounds like that it's the entire issue is generally about financing and money.
Yeah.
According to the School Nutritional Association, 76% of American school districts have kids with school lunch debt. And the SNA also notes the current lunch debt nationwide ranges from, you know, a couple of dollars to $4.6 million. So this is a huge issue that a lot of schools just don't have the money to give kids free lunches. And if anyone gives away free lunches, then they could be terminated. So it's a sticky situation for staff members as well.
Yeah, and here it was right before the show, Tony and I were having a little discussion over this, that some of the staff, when they tried to help out, and then they actually sort of received a stick because Well, there is the money issue, but, well, me, you know, as in a grown-up now, but I do remember my days as a child, and although you may appear to be very little, all the grown-ups look like giants, but... But actually, I understood everything. I'm sure there are some sensitive kids out there. And then when you feel this difference in treatment, I think it's pretty sad. And it could have a profound influence on how this kid look at the world and have their views as it shapes. So this is... Yeah, this is something that's actually quite close to my heart when we talk about this. And when we look at the China situation, at first, when we approached this topic, I thought, oh, in the U.S., well, people pack different lunches. Because there are some kids that their parents would pack a lunchbox for them. And when I went to the U.S. to go to school when I was a first grader, I remember my mom packed me a lunch every day, and it was nothing fancy because we didn't have a lot of money, and it was a lot of money for my parents to pay for the school lunch. And also they went to check out the food served, and they didn't want me to be eating pizza and hot dogs a lot. So the cheaper way and the
healthiest way,
possible healthier way, was that my mom would pack me a lunch, and she would usually just make me a sandwich, but just make sure that there's vegetables in there, and would pack me a yogurt and an apple and those kind of things. And I just think that when you separate these kids into like different lines, one's there to collect the
brown bags, and those are to collect hot food.
And it's probably the easiest way to manage, but it's certainly not the most humane way to do this. And I remember there were some kids that were like pointing out that, oh, your food is such and such, and somebody else, you know, that person's got like chocolate bars and stuff packed in the fancy lunchbox. And there is this sort of comparison, but there wasn't so much shaming, so to speak. And I don't know, this is just a very sensitive issue, I feel.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty sensitive as well. I mean, when I was younger, my family actually was busy working, and so I had to fix my own lunch. And so sometimes I didn't have time, so sometimes I'd go to school without lunch. And I didn't remember there being an outlet for me to get a free meal. Of course, it's a program, so you have to apply for it, and your family have to earn, you know, it's very strict on who can apply for it. And so, but, you know, lunch is a very, you know, big time for kids when they're in school, because you do kind of look around and you get to see where people are in terms of, you know, how much their family is earning, and also, you know, the relationship they have with their family.
Yeah.
Because most kids that I know, and I looked around, their parents were making their lunches. But for me, it was just like, oh, I have to make it myself. And so, I mean, that was, you know, it was a little bit stressful for me at that time of my life. But I think this gives rise to a bigger issue in terms of perhaps the socioeconomical divide that's going on in the U.S. at present. You know, I think I read on an online survey, according to the survey, it was 75% of teachers and 84% of principals say their students are coming to school hungry. And more than half of educators say that a lot, you know, more than most of their students, depends on that school meals are really their best meal of the day for a lot of kids. So they're not getting, you know, the nutrition that they need at home, you know, whether for breakfast or for dinner. So this meal is very pivotal in a lot of, you know, United States youth's lives. So.
Yeah, actually, this is really interesting. At least there is a comprehensive set of data that shows the situation in the U.S., in U.S. schools, more or less. And we try to look up the equivalent information here in China, and it was kind of difficult. But the school lunches here in China, the way it's served, is usually that everybody just has the same lunch.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a differentiation. But, of course, the parents are paying for the lunch.
Yes.
And what if your family is not capable to pay for the bills? And that part, we just aren't able to find information.
Well, yeah, we couldn't find information on that. And also, I haven't spent time in schools in bigger cities, so I don't know how that is conducted. However, I just spend time. I do go to secondary schools, middle schools. So I from my experience, it was a township secondary school that I went to. So on the junior level, we had only a few, perhaps about five students who were boarding at the school, so only they had special requirements for lunch arrangements. The rest of the students, they go home and eat lunch with their family. And for the junior middle school students who were boarding, they were mostly from rural areas, very remote from the township, so mm-hmm. they had to prepare rice, grain, and also vegetable for themselves, and they were consigned the food or just consign the food and put the food in the school kitchen. Mm-hmm. And the kitchen is only responsible for cooking them, for boiling them. So in that case, there was some nutrition problem. I noticed that a lot of these schools, a lot of the students who were boarding, they only brought rice and then just some pickled or just salted vegetable, and that was not really healthy. And it was until the secondary high school or the senior high school that the school really got big, and they had a canteen, and that's when there were more students trying to study on a boarding basis, and mm-hmm. they were living on campus, and then they had a canteen. But even so, the food was not exactly satisfactory. So a lot of those students who were boarding, they would move out of the campus. They were looking for restaurants outside the schools,
mm-hmm.
and really, the situation of lunch programs in China really varies from place to place. Because, like I said, I didn't know anything about big cities. But the rural areas is where the government is paying attention to. China's Ministry of Education started a pilot program in 2011 to provide nutritious meals to students in rural areas. And so far, the program has benefited 37 million students in more than 1,600 counties across 29 provinces.
Mm-hmm.
And the central government has spent almost 125 billion yuan in the meal program and another 30 billion yuan in the building of school cafeterias. So I realized I didn't know enough about big cities, but I do manage to find some information about how smaller schools in Beijing, in downtown Beijing, where the space is scarce because the school was just tiny, they couldn't find a space to build a canteen. But there are some schools that managed to dig underground and build a canteen,
mm.
and that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and I have a little bit of experience here in Beijing going to school and seeing what the lunch meal is like. Yes, usually the school provides just the same set meal, and cities, usually the school meals have a very bad reputation for being just not delicious at all. And
well, I think initially a lot of these were provided by catering companies located outside the fourth ring road. Therefore, in order to make it on time so that the kids can have the meal at noon, a lot of these lorries or trucks moving those food started off at 8 or 9 a.m. That was the case. So as a result, when the kids do get the meal or the lunch packs, they were already not necessarily in good shape. And so that's why a lot of big schools in Beijing or in big cities, they're trying to build their own canteen, and they are still on.
So here, of course, you know, if we consider the most vulnerable or underprivileged, this is definitely an issue that all governments need to come up with a solution, that you need to feed all kids. And let's go back to the rural areas for a little bit here, that in the last decade, I think there's been programs, sometimes charity programs, that aim to give every child that lives in the rural areas of China an egg, at least guarantee that, so that, you know, there's a an amount of nutrient that's going into the kid's body. But that kind of initiative can also mirror the fact that in rural areas particularly, that sometimes living standards are not great. And guaranteeing the one egg is actually a thing that people had to devote special resources to. But this is, you know, the starting point, and this is something that not only the government, but also charity organizations are getting involved. So you have to feed the kids. Otherwise, how can they learn? How can they thrive in school?
Absolutely. And I it's great that, you know, there's some steps that are being made. Definitely back home, we need the government needs to get a little bit more involved in some of these issues, because, you know, with schools in debt, you know, and the care that's coming because of that debt, it's, you know, needs to be addressed.
Yes. And again, parents, this is one of the things that parents need to definitely think about. Maybe
take heart.
Yeah. You're listening to Roundtable. We'll be back after this short break.